Welcome to another Macquarie Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message.
Father, we thank you today for your love towards every one of us, for what you are doing, being exalted as Lord in every one of our lives, Father. We worship before you, Lord, today. We thank you for your word and for your truth and for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. Well, good afternoon to some of you. Second service. Thank you for having myself and my wife also tonight. We're very blessed to be invited to come to Macquarie Life Church and to the love we receive from you and the freedom and just your kindness towards us and to our ministry. We're thankful. I watch your videos, your YouTube videos, because you say kind things about me, and that's I always make sure to see those, and we are blessed by it. So I want to show a video this morning, but before I do, just to give an introduction to it, it's a 2.5 minute video, and it's a drone shot of where our ministries, that the main part of our ministries is located in Jos. Jos is northern Nigeria, and we have about 36 acres just outside of Jos as our permanent site. We've been building over the last 12 years, except we stopped building once for an entire year, not one block, because of the terrorism was so much that we just had to lay aside all development and minister to the needs of people. So God has been so kind, really kind. You know, I'm Irish, so that I'm a glass half empty sort of person, at the best of times, but we walk around and saying, "Oh, everything's so hard." And when you look back, you just see the love of God and His faithfulness, and He's always there. You know, God doesn't do somersaults in front of me; He's not a showman. Here I am, you know, but you just see He's just so faithful, and that's how He displays Himself. And it's wonderful. So at this site there, we call it Wurrin, W-U-R-I-N, Wurrin, that's place in Hausa language, and Alheri, which A-L-H-E-R-I, Alheri, Wurrin, Alheri. And Alheri means grace or mercy or kindness. And so to us it's kindness, place of kindness. And when we called it that, because it was open during the height of terrorism, and kindness was essential. You know, we were so blessed reading the teachings of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, and during all of this violence, I really began to see the atonement theology of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. I never saw that before. You know, I thought only Paul taught on atonement. You know, but here it is: how to cast out evil. How to get evil out of our hearts and overcome evil and, you know, atone for evil. Wipe it out of our communities and societies. And so we saw that operating in our lives and ministry through the kindness of the gospel, getting bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness out of people's hearts and bringing God's mercy into our community and really overcoming terrorism. You know, the army played its part ultimately, eventually. More should be done for different reasons. I can't go into it today, but ultimately it was the church. It was the teachings of Christ in His parables and the Gospels that equipped us to build community. And when I say us, I mean Christians in the country, to build community with our neighbors and with our enemies and marginalize the radicals and give them a place where they had no foothold in the country. And that ultimately overcame what the devil was doing. Beautiful teachings that the Lord began to reveal into our hearts. And so on this site, Wurrin Alheri, we have a Bible college, which we have 1,500 students now. It's exploded in recent years. Figuratively. They come from all denominations. Lutheran, every imaginable, Pentecostal, independent, and they come together. And they come from all ethnic backgrounds, enemy people. that used to kill each other, even ex-terrorists that have come to Christ. We had one who killed Christians. He led terrorist attacks on many occasions. He saw miracles and the Lord even writing something in the air, revealing himself to him in a vision. And he came to Christ. He was discipled by somebody. Then he came to our Bible college after that. And now he's a wonderful missionary among our missionaries that goes out and leads thousands of people to Christ. You know, he prays for the sick, sees lots of healings. Not the way we did it when I was growing up in Sydney, you know, but we praise God. And, you know, like he pours a bucket of water on somebody. I'm not sure if he's healing them or baptizing them, but and they get healed. And wonderful things. And so this man had a bit of a death wish when he came to Christ because he felt so guilty. You know, well, who's he to be loved by all these people that he hated? And he really struggled with this. He'd go into mosque and stand up and shout out, "Jesus is Lord." And he was assisted suicide program. And, you know, and we had to counsel him for a couple of years. You know, God loves you. He's forgiven you. You don't need to be like that. And he's really matured now. He's and he walks with our missions team in wonderful grace. So that's you know, some of our Bible college students coming in as previously enemies, now sitting down together. One of the themes that you have that you asked me to mention, one table. That's been one of our major themes. Build bigger tables, not higher walls. This is where I start to speak in the spirit. English is not enough when you start talking about things like this. You know, and the money we would need to encircle our compound, our site with blocks, is a lot. You know, it's too much. And if you put that money into building a table, you'll find far better security, you know, by building your neighborhood. It's just, it's marvelous. And so that's... What we've seen there going on, and the Lord's been teaching us through all of these times of terrorism and so on. And so that's yes, that's right. That's what I wanted to say. We have we'll show you the building soon, but we have a main chapel which has been extended. This video is a bit old. It's been extended, the chapel, to have knocked out all the side walls around it and things like that. And we have a student chapel which is another building for the Bible College At this side, behind the lecturer, right across the wall, we've got that painting. Is it Leonardo da Vinci or somebody? The Last Supper. Who did that? You know that. And it reminds me of a funny joke. You heard about the man who went to order a table for the Last Supper. We need a table that fits 25. And he said, "I thought there were only 12 disciples." He said, "I know, we all sit on one side, you know." So we've got that photo up there. That painting up there. And Jesus, this white dude from Europe in the middle. I said, "We're not arguing about any of that stuff, you know." And then all along the sides, we've got pictures of graduates coming down the side of the chapel, along this side, and they're all seated at table with Christ, all of our graduates, and they're the cloud of witnesses. All around there, so it's a real encouragement to our students. Beautiful place. It's like heaven on earth, and you know, relationships that we have not just with those in Christ, but with our Muslim neighbours. Just rich relationships which are growing, and also my wife and I are aging a little bit, which is great in Nigeria because they really respect old people, you know, the elders. It's just such a culture of respect. So it's just getting better for us every year. We're really cashing in on this on this thing, you know, and everyone's like, you know, "Amen, as you were." My wife is just crocheting, you know, things for babies. Every time a staff has a baby, they get a blanket or something, or a doll, a black dolly baby. Beautiful. They love them. They bring them, carry them around. Wherever we walk, the little children just run and hug our legs. It's just, we're really blessed to be part of those people and the community, and they really treat us as their grandparents. And they're so responsible, they work so hard, we don't really have to do a lot. you know, there except be grandparents to them and raise the funds that, and you know, you can't raise funds like that in Nigeria. It's just got a devastated economy over there. So that's, you know, how we fit into the team over there. So as I said, we have 1,200 Bible college students who live on the campus. We have 425 children, crisis care home. These people are terrorist survivors. We have two children's homes, one on our site, another part of the country. And we have a hospital there. We have about 15 doctors on rota and minor surgeries. And we have a vocational center with about 16 different vocational skills, building all sorts of different, tailoring, shoemaking, lots of different skills like that. A discipleship center that Dan's already mentioned, about hundreds of Muslim converts that come in. And they're loved even by our Muslim neighbors. They are fleeing for safety from their regions where they're really serious trouble, you know, they're trying to kill them and everything. And when they come to our neighborhood, they're loved and respected by the Muslim people, our neighbors. We just, you know, it's through the teachings of Jesus, the way he's led us and the way the gospel has gone out to our neighbors in times of violence and the community. I think that word together that you're talking about, you know, one that reminds me of the word cohesion, that we had to build that cohesion during terrorism, you know, which means caring for your neighbors. And at one point we invited our Muslim neighbors into the office. We'd gone through major killing, thousands of people had been killed. It was on both sides. It was terrible. And at the end of it, it just changed my perspective so much. We invited Muslim elders into the office and said to them, we repented. And we said, you know, Jesus is Lord. We tell them straight, we're standing solidly on the apostles' doctrines here. And we say, Jesus is Lord. And as Lord, he has commanded us to love our enemies. And we think maybe we should do that from time to time, you know, and we at least take it into consideration. I didn't say that, but we said, look, we haven't loved you. You're a mile up from us, just a mile. We don't know anything about you. We have no dealings, just like the Jews and Samaritans in the New Testament, and we apologize. You grieve, we don't grieve with you. You rejoice, we don't rejoice. I mean, that's intolerable. You have sufferings, we don't even know about it. And we're sorry about this. We want to love you as our neighbors because of Jesus and because he's our Lord. And we don't do any of this into dialogue, faith dialogue, nothing. We're solidly Christians in our stance. And but as Christians, we're to love our neighbors. And so they almost fell over backwards. You know, that pastor asking to forgiveness. And I could just go on about this for so long, these beautiful stories, and you know, and how many thousands of Muslims are coming to Christ there. Our heart's desire at the moment is missions. So most of our graduates go out to other churches and plant churches. Almost all of them go out and plant churches for other denominations. But we retain many of them also for mission stations. We have almost 200 now, and they're not just in Nigeria, but neighboring countries. And beautiful places. Thousands of people are coming to Christ. And we really want to encourage these missionaries. They're in very frontline areas, and many times they're despised. You know, they struggle and nothing to write home about in terms of worldly things. But they're precious to God. And we gathered about 8,000 of these by God's grace a couple of years ago. And one of the Muslims was on the planning team for this. You know, a Muslim guy came and said, I want to be on the planning committee for your missions conference. And, well, okay. And he comes to our prayer meetings. He's one of our staff in the computer centers. Don't worry, he's not teaching Christology in the Bible college. He's one of our staff in our computer centers. So he wanted to be on that missions planning committee. And he knew the sole purpose of this missions conference was to raise up missionaries to plant churches among Islamic regions of the northern Nigeria and to lead people to Christ and to build churches. That was the sole purpose of it. And he knew that, and he bent over backwards to make that missions conference a success. And then I said, we had 8,000 African missionaries come to that conference. and are able to encourage, and we transported them from their regions. And that was after Boko Haram said they would destroy the church in the north. You know, I've got a bit of that Australian spirit. I just wanted to do this and just say, hello, we're here. After you've done your worst, we're bigger than before. Amen. And we just wanted to encourage them because of the terrible things that they had gone through there. We asked some of their children to come into our school so we can care for them. People helped our five children, gave them a scholarship, so we wanted to help other missionaries and their children. So that's our heart. And I just want to show this video of the site where some of our operations are, and just for 2.5 minutes. It's compiled. These are two. One half of it's taken about 4 years ago, and half of it's a few months ago. So you'll see, you know, buildings appear and disappear. And it's in dry season. So it's, you know, we have 6 months of beautiful, lush rain. The song in the background's about unity, if you can read the words. It's sung by one of our student choirs, Bible College student choirs. I think they're Lutheran, and it's a sulfur choir. They practice outside our bedroom window in the afternoons, and it's just beautiful. And it's about unity. And that's the key thing that God's given us as a team. It's not formal at all. It's just fellowship. And that's how we work together. And when you have that, and God, it's God's gift. We haven't struggled for it. God can do anything in that situation. He just adds as he's ready to add whatever he wants to do. Let's turn to Philippians 2, please. I just want to read a little passage out of this this letter of Paul. And beautiful passage. The way I understand Philippians is it's Paul's commentary on the book of Daniel. And the book of Daniel is saying how the kingdom of God is going to come into the world and fill the earth. And, you know, it talks about resurrection and final judgment. And these themes are in Daniel as well. And all of this is in Philippians. And at Paul's time, you know, they didn't know how this kingdom would come. Maybe God would raise up an army and deal with the Romans. Amen. Paul is showing how the kingdom unfolds through the humility of Christ, something completely unexpected. This passage in Philippians 2, some people say that it was probably a baptismal creed, but maybe one of the first creeds of the church. We don't know for sure, but that might have been recited at baptisms. And it really shows the center of the apostles' doctrine. You know, we see in the book of Acts that they continued from house to house in the word of God and prayer, breaking bread, and continued in the apostles' doctrine. And I think this passage in Philippians just, you know, focuses right in on the essence of that doctrine. And let's just read it quickly. Verse 4, Philippians 2, 4. Let every one of you look not only on his own interest, but also in the interest of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be grasped. So he didn't grasp onto his position, which is really the essence of the identity or the character of the Christian faith, about service and togetherness and to, reaching out to include the community around us, and how we demonstrate the gospel to our nation. It says in verse 7, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. And this is the part where I used to really come in as an early Pentecostal, you know. God has highly exalted him, amen, and given him a name above every name, amen. Now we're speaking. Every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So these sort of central doctrines here, like the divinity of Christ, his death and his resurrection and his eternal and absolute kingdom rule over all things. It is over all things. Even the corruption in the world, those institutions and things like that, ultimately God rules over them. They belong to him, all principalities and powers. which gives us a lot of hope. We see these, and these doctrines were in the creeds, the early, Nicene Creed, the early church creeds, the main fundamental doctrines of Christ. But all these doctrines in Philippians 2 are organized around a central focus, and that is the humility. That's the center, and Paul clearly states that's his point here. And that doctrine should be in the creeds at the center. If I may say so, forgive me for who am I in respect to our fathers, our great fathers. But this is Paul's point, the humility of Christ. And it shines a light on what the apostles' doctrine was, because this was a baptismal creed, likely, that God humbled himself in Christ and came to us, who were such a far distance from him. So Christian faith is following this God. This is the essence of Christian faith. It's following this God. It's not I believe this. It's following. Yes, we believe it, but we believe it in following this God. That's how we're believing it, and so that we humble ourselves in our love and our service for one another, doing to others what God is doing for us in Christ. And as I like to say recently, that we should have this passage in Philippians at our marriage ceremonies, weddings. I think it'd be a good idea to have to be baptized when we get married. And it's no longer I who live. Took me years to work that one out. It might have been nice if we had that at our wedding. We probably did. I just didn't hear it. I had other ideas. This is a beautiful community of the book of Acts that we are seeing here. Beautiful. This is Jesus. This is his church. This is his mission to the world. And it's a wonderful thing for us to be a part of. We have a mailing list. And if you'd like to get our newsletter, please, there's a list out there, outside there. And if you can just sign, put your email address there, please use very clear primary school script if you put your email address there so that we can read it. I just want to finish with a couple of testimonies of our disciples. Dan mentioned the disciple. We have one who came to a missions conference a few years back and got saved. I don't know how he got into the missions conference. He was a Muslim. He wasn't a missionary. He got saved there. He went back to his family in Zuru, in the northwest of Nigeria. His family rejected him and hated him and tried to kill him and drove him out. He came back to us as a disciple, and he went through Bible college, even getting a degree, a bachelor's degree in theology after his discipleship program. Then he went on and became part of our building team. And was working on our site, and now he's on our missions team, leading many, many people to Christ. But he went back to his family last year, very tentatively, and he believed the Lord was leading him to, and some people were saying, oh, I'm not sure. But when he got back to the town, his father was like the prodigal's father, waiting on the edge of the town for his son to return. And he received him with love, and he said, I'm so proud of you and what you're doing now. As a Christian pastor, he said, here's a motorcycle. As you go around here evangelizing, I want you to use a motorcycle for me. And his family's just changed so much. And that doesn't happen to all of our disciples and converts, but it does happen to many. 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 years. And the gospel goes out to so many through their community. So I want to thank you for your support for us, for your love. We really, really appreciate your kindness and your love, as I said, and your love towards us. It encourages us and warms us and propels us. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this message today. You are Lord, and your gospel is supreme, because it's a gospel where the true God is revealed through the humiliation or the humility of Christ. And we thank you, Lord God, empower us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, for this life. And I just encourage people about those service teams that we heard about today to get involved in those service teams. No one's asked me to say this, but, you know, we are the ones that are blessed. You know, our lives are transformed. It's not for the people we serve, it's for us. Of course, it's for them too. Amen. So God bless you. And thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this message. For more information, please visit macquarielifechurch.com.au.